Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Guarino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories. It's all right here for you with this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Remember to visit us online, too, at besteveryou.com. And now here's your host, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, Elizabeth Hamilton Guarino.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the special edition of the Best Ever You Show. I know we don't usually do shows on Monday, but we have two really cool guests lined up. Coach Nelson. Hello, Coach Nelson. You're on the line with us. And then we have Hector Mike. Hey, how are you today?
All right.
And then we have actor Michael McGlone joining us at about 1:30. So we're really blessed and honored to have them with us today. We're going to learn all sorts of stuff about boxing, which I know nothing about boxing. So hopefully I will do okay on this show as we go into a whole new language for me here. But so we have Nelson Maldonado with us, and he is the owner of your website is learn2box.com, which is learn with the number 2 box.com. So welcome, and you're calling us from New York City. Is everything all right there in New York City today? How are things going?
Hey, thanks for having me. Things are better now. I mean, it was really hectic, you know, the last few days with the storm and everything. And my heart goes out to those that still have no power.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. Fortunately, I live on the Upper West Side, so we didn't really get hit. But I had family members and friends, you know, that got hit pretty bad. And some just got their power back recently.
Yeah, I know our family lives in, a lot of our family lives in New Jersey, and I think a lot of people are still without power even yet today. So, yeah, definitely our hearts and thoughts and well wishes and love go out to everybody affected by the storm all up and down the East Coast. I know a number of people in Connecticut even who still don't have power. So lots of love, and I know you have you had to go get your mom or something too. We had to do that with our aunt.
Yeah, she actually lives right by the power plant, the Con Edison on 14th Street that exploded, so they got hit pretty hard, so I had to bring her home with me.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's back home now and the family, you know, thank God they're okay. But definitely my heart goes out to those that are still suffering, like Jersey, Staten Island, and other places.
Yeah. Now, is mom a boxer?
No. Definitely not. I'm sure she needed to, though. she knows what to do.
where'd you come up with boxing? Where did it all come from?
I pretty much started when I was about 12, 13 years old, and I started in a boys' club down where I live, where I used to live, actually, which is the Lower East Side. And I went there just to lift some weights and stuff, and I met someone, Milton LaCroix, and he said, you know, I was a big kid. He said, you should try boxing. And so we took it from there, started training with him. I had lots of amateur fights, and, you know, and as I was training, I became like a team captain. I started helping out with the other guys and the girls. So it came down to me, you know, having my team now in New York, which is Supreme Team Boxing.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, and.
But it's pretty much started.
But now, you know, now you've done things like you've been in movies and books and all this stuff. How'd you do that? Do you just get so good at it from you've got like 15 years of experience training? You've trained pros and amateur boxers. And what's that like to take that leap and be in movies and train people for things? And tell me about
Well, the way it started was the team, you know, which my trainer, you know, and partner now, he started in the mid-80s, was, you know, pretty much a fighting team, you know, for amateur and professionals. What I did was I took the team and I made it into a household name. You know, made it that anybody could learn boxing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so from there I started, you know, started training a lot of people, celebrities, and just anybody that wanted to just learn boxing.
Yeah.
So, and to this day now, you know, it got bigger, thank God. I did a couple movies. There was one book called The Gloves that I was mentioning also. I was fortunate to work with some top fighters. I worked with Shannon Briggs when he was the heavyweight champ of the world.
Awesome.
Helped out with Keith Mudden, Sav Judah, and, you know, and I also worked with a lot of celebrities.
Yeah. And can you take can you take somebody who knows nothing about boxing and turn them into a boxer?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's what I enjoy doing. I love taking someone from a beginner stage. My saying when kids or people come to the gym, I tell them, you come in as a beginner, but you leave all level. They leave the same day knowing something. See, we do everything in drills, boxing drills, so they learn fast. And also at the same time make it fun for them. You know, but the best thing that I love to see is someone actually learning, you know, and the expressions they make when they actually learn something. Mm-hmm. I always said that you could take the best fighter in the world. He could be a heavyweight champ of the world. Now, he's a person that actually could learn very good, but he won't be able to teach what he learned. You know, mm-hmm. So then you get guys that never knew a fight in their life, and they great trainers. So I was actually fortunate when I was a kid to train with my team that I was also like team captain. I was shown how to teach, and I just took the love for it. I mean, I just left everything else and I did it full time, started a company.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a special gift, isn't it, to be able to teach people what you know and have, and then not only just, you know, sit there and teach people, but actually to have people comprehend and understand and learn and be able to do it. It's a really special gift, isn't it? Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I mean, it's like the best feeling there is. I mean, I have a passion for it. I mean, it's just not just something I do for the money. I mean, you know, we all need money. We all got to get by, bills, et cetera. But, I mean, I just love doing it, and I love teaching.
Yeah.
That's one thing I loved doing since I was a kid, you know?
That's a really common theme we have with everybody that we interview with Best Ever You, or try to have that be the common theme anyway, where people really just have a genuine passion for not only what they do but for other people. And sometimes that passion, it seems like the teachers and actors and so forth almost have more of a passion for other people than they do themselves. Very interesting how selfless people are and so forth. But I hear the word passion. Can you think of anything, if you weren't boxing, can you think of anything you would ever be doing other than this?
That's hard to say because I took it on since an early age. I mean, you know, when you're in school, they ask you what you want to be when you grow up. I say, hey, I want to be a cop, I want to be a lawyer, I want to do this, I want to do that. But, you know, I took it on since such an early age.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up in the Lower East Side, grew up in a terrible neighborhood. You know, kids would get bullied. I mean, we had to learn something. We had to learn some kind of self-defense to get by, you know.
Sure.
So, you know, I always saw, like, I mean, I've done other jobs. I've done security. I've done different stuff. And it was never the same for me. It's not something I wanted to do.
That's a really common thing we hear as well, where people, like I know as the owner of Best Ever You, I can hardly picture anything else that I'd rather be doing. Like over the years of owning this company, people have said, get a real job, when it was starting up and struggling and everything. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. I'm going to be doing this forever. I love doing this. And it's interesting because it's almost like your life isn't the same without it.
No, it's definitely not the same. I got a saying, it's funny that you say struggling and stuff like that. It's like I always say to my clients, people I train, is you train hard, you fight easy. You study hard, you test easy. You work hard, you get paid. So it's what you put into it. You know, you gotta put all you want, all you have into it, and it will grow.
Yeah.
You know, so, but definitely, I mean, I can't see myself doing anything else.
Yeah, when you have a client in front of you or somebody trying to learn, do you see 100% of it being all physical, all boxing, or are you finding that you're coaching people mentally as well?
Oh, no, not at all. Yeah, definitely mentally. I mean, boxing is a lot more than just physical training. I mean, at least the way I teach it. I mean, I had a client recently told me that when she trains with me, it's like doing yoga. Oh, she just focuses on the training. She doesn't worry about anything else. Most people, when they train, they look at the clock or they go, oh, when it's going to be over. This kind of training, you got to really focus, you know.
Yeah.
It's just like yoga, but much more physical into it, you know. So you got to really put your all into it. I mean, it's a great stress reliever. You come in. A lot of my clients, I tell them, you know, they had a bad day. Let me know they had a bad day. So we'll work and we'll channel that energy out, you know, that bad energy, and just, you know, work on that, you know, channel it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of just going crazy and hitting a wall doing this, which, you know, it's not, you know, it's not what you want to do.
Right.
You know, so it's great, great mentally as much as physical.
So how does boxing get you? How does boxing get you in shape? I hear the word kickboxing as well, and I'm sort of wondering what the difference. You know, I get it, but, you know, hands versus feet probably. But you know, what are the differences? What are they? And you know, for somebody, you know, I'm wondering. Do a lot of women go, yeah, I think I'm going to learn boxing.
Yeah, I mean, the majority these days that I have, I actually teach boxing and kickboxing. Mm-hmm. And what I do is I do a boxing or kickboxing boot camp. So it's more like, you know, the first 15 minutes I do a lot of strength training intervals, you know, that's going to learn, you know, to burn calories and stuff like that. And then what we do is we incorporate that with boxing. So they burn lots of calories. They learn real self-defense that works, and it's great mental. I mean, they, like I said, it's just like doing yoga.
Yeah.
So what we do is we incorporate strength training and cardio together. I mean, a lot of people know, hey, I go to the gym, I do cardio one day, I do strength training the next day. You know, that works. It takes a little longer. But if you actually incorporate the workouts together, you actually burn so much more calories. You know, and the difference with kickboxing, yeah, you have it right. You throw kicks and stuff. We do elbows, stuff like that. But you're burning much more calories. The reason why, when you're working on your legs, it's such a big muscle that it's like letting out a natural testosterone, and you burn much more calories. So I find that a lot of the women I train do a lot more kickboxing because they do it for more like a self-defense. So if someone tries to attack them in the street, they'll know how to get someone off them. You know, just not by just hitting them, of course. Kicking them, grabbing them, elbowing. I tell them, look, you get into some kind of problem in the street, you know, get the person off you and with all means, but then just run. Don't just stay there trying to fight somebody much bigger than you, you know?
Running is good. Teaching
yeah,
people how to run,
is,
too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah. We don't want, I mean, I'm not saying I'm telling them to run like, hey, I'm a chicken or something, but you got, realistically, if you got somebody 6'2 in the street, 250 pounds trying to attack, you know, which happens a lot, and it's sad to say, you know, especially in New York. I mean, so I tell them, hey, defend yourself. You know, after you defend yourself, call the cops, but I don't want you staying there wrestling with somebody 250 pounds.
Right, just because I taught you how to kickbox or
something. But the majority, I mean, a lot of them do it for fitness, and, hey, a lot of them do it for the self-defense.
I wonder if there was a component to that. You know, of that to this, because, you know, I do know tons of women who learn self-defense, whether you live in Maine or you live in New York City or you live in Minnesota or, I've worked for a company that's brought in someone like you and taught us self-defense and, things like that. So, you know, there are many things that you do with this, and I think that's pretty cool, actually, because, you know, there's so many ways and different directions that it can go in. From self-defense to, like, training somebody like an actor, like Michael McGlone. It sounds like you've been working with him, boxing. Facebook and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Michael, he's a great guy. I mean, we've been training for almost a year now, maybe 10 months. And I always say to people, I mean, when you have someone you train, you got to have that right chemistry. You know, you got to have, it's not just about, I mean, there's trainers out there that just do it and they train someone, hey, and the hour's over and that's it. You know, my chemistry, you know, with Mike is great. I mean, we're good friends. You know, we met through training, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of those guys that he just wants you to keep coming.
Yeah.
He doesn't give up. He trains hard, you know. So, you know, it's been great training him, and I love training Mike. We train a few times a week. So.
Oh, that's really great. And I don't know if we want to give all Michael the information away or anything like that, but, you know, how did he start and where is he now? As far as boxing goes, what progress have you made, or are you working with him to train him for a role, or you know, what's the purpose?
Someone brought him a gift certificate,
mm-hmm.
and we never met first. You know, it was a gift to him.
Oh, cool.
And then we started training, and it was just about the physical. He told me he'd done a little boxing in the past. He loved it. And, you know, we started training from there. It wasn't really for a role. I'm sure if he gets a role coming up, he'd be perfect because he's picked up so fast. I mean, he's a fast mm-hmm. learner. You know, we do the split routine, which is the first, you know, 15, 20 minutes, you know, intense training, you know, which is, you know, he's in great shape. And we do the same thing. You know, we do the boxing, work on a lot of technique. We work on the physical aspect of it, you know. So he's definitely ready for,
yeah.
I mean, you know, for any part as in a role or just, you know, defend himself or, you know, but he's definitely in great shape from the training.
When you're working with him,
I love training with Michael.
Oh, yeah, he's just a great person. When you're working with him, mm-hmm. does he, like, break out into all the different, like, either songs or impersonations that he does?
Does he
do a little Christopher
Walken impression?
It's
funny, that's a good question. I mean, people must think that, you know, when he's trying to act or whatever. No, he's a great, I mean, we talk, of course, he's a great person, but not,
yeah.
I mean, I've seen all of his movies and I love his music.
Yeah.
I mean, Michael's a he's definitely what you could call a Renaissance man. I mean, this guy is very talented.
Isn't he?
I mean, it's music, from music to comedy to his movies. I mean, I love his CDs, his albums.
Yeah. Yes,
you know, one of my favorite is from the old album, which is Hero, but I love all his music.
Yeah, yeah, he's great, absolutely a tremendously gifted human being. I mean, he's a lot of the, you know, we'll talk to him here in a little bit, but he does a lot of the voiceovers for commercials, too, and he was a Geico guy and all stuff, so yeah, I just wondered if he, you know, if he did the, is it a bad idea, Coach Nelson, to, you know.
Well, he's done the voice for me from the Geico, which I loved it. I mean, it's funny, before I met him, I actually loved the Geico commercial when he comes out with the difficult questions.
Yeah,
you know, and then but we never really get into like the like in person and stuff.
Yeah.
But I have seen his movies, and he's done the voice for me, which is funny.
Yeah, he's very, very funny. Which is, you know, I can see too that you have such a great sense of humor and a great personality. How does laughter play a role in your life?
I think it's very important in mine and in everybody's life. I mean, that's what I put it this way. I have my daughter here at home, and she, if I have a bad day, I look at a picture of her and it makes my day. I mean, laughter is the most important thing there is.
Yeah.
It's just being happy, you know. And again, like with me and Michael, with clients I train, I make things fun. It's not about, hey, let's just do this. I mean, we do train intensive, you know, intensely, but it's all about having fun.
Yeah.
You know, and at the same time having a great workup. But it plays a lot in this life. I mean, we all have our problems, of course. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I have my problems.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, boy, have I. I had a weekend.
Yeah, you know, so that's, I mean, if someone tells you they don't have problems, I mean,
they're
lying. But, I mean, we all have, you know, and I believe life is all about balance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I always pray about things, you know, and that's what helps me. I go to church, you know, to my family, and that helps me a great deal.
Yeah.
So,
do you?
You know, but laughter is definitely important.
Yeah, definitely. You just said a really great word, balance. And I know we're here to talk about boxing and so forth, but I love balance and core work.
Mm-hmm.
Does boxing get? And I mean this literally too. I mean like the core of your body and how when your core is in shape, it seems like a lot more things are in balance and so forth. Does boxing help you and kickboxing get your core in shape?
I mean, it's one of the most things that does help you. I mean, if you look at any boxers or kickboxers, if you see their body, I mean, it's pretty much ripped. I mean, the core plays, if not the most important part of the body when you're training. I mean, your core is everything. That's why I tell people when they train to hold, to pull their stomach in, to contract, to relax certain muscles and to focus on contracting the core, the stomach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because especially in anything like kickboxing, you got to lift one leg up. You have to have that balance.
Yeah.
You know, but core is definitely 100% in training. You got to work your core. I mean, a lot of times I start my clients over, you know, it's basically you have to warm up for at least 10, 12 minutes. And we then after that, we do some core stuff and we stretch and we do our physical training, then we do our boxing or kickboxing. But it's definitely core training every workout I do.
Yeah.
I mean, there's days that it's more, there's days that it's less, but it's always core workout.
Yeah.
It's very, very important in training. And we speak about balance. I know we talk about boxing, but balance with me is, I believe, how do you know what's good if there's no bad? So
that's a good point. How do you know what's good if there's no bad?
If you never felt anything bad. So,
yeah.
And that's, you know, I get deeper with that, but we're not, I mean, but balance plays a big role in everything we do.
Yeah, a little bit
so.
A little bit of something puts everything into perspective. I know I've had great respect for anybody who's ever been through a stroke or heart attack, you know, all those types of things. And I know this takes us off into a tangent and so forth, but, you know, our family was so healthy before my father had his stroke in 2004. And he's been just fighting for his life for years now, just so, you know, just so ill. Some days are great and some days are bad, but I know I'm just thinking of my dad right now because he loves to watch boxing on TV and stuff. So hi, Dad, if you're listening. But, you know.
My prayers also.
Thank you, because we need them. We'll take all the prayers we can get. But what I also was thinking about, when I think about my dad, I think about a lot of people who might be listening to the show, maybe looking down at their body going, I'm too far gone. You know, I'm too fat. I'm too out of shape. I'm definitely not ripped. And I'm sort of looking down right now going, yeah, I'm not that ripped. you know, is anybody listening too far gone? Can you? Is there a point at which you're too far gone, or can anybody start to get in shape? And what's that process? Because, you know, I don't know that I would ever come in and go, yep, I'm ready, let's box. You know, I don't know.
I mean, that's a great point. I mean, there's a one thing I always say, and I got a whole bunch of sayings in training.
That's okay, I love them.
We don't get old, we get wise. I mean, if there's things I knew today that I knew, things I knew back then that I knew today, oh my God. So we never get old. You know, with someone older, there's just different ways of warming up. I mean, if you look at these Olympians, you got these Special Olympians and these guys that have one leg and they have another robotic leg, and look how fast and how great these guys are doing.
Yeah, it's
you know,
amazing,
so you compare
isn't
yourself
it?
To that. Yeah, it's amazing. I mean,
well, I think
you know.
That's the problem. I do compare myself to that, and I'm like, I can't even do that. How am I going to,
you know,
how am I going to, yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. I mean, I had a guy one time come in, and a great person. He lost so much weight with me. He comes in. I remember the first day he comes in, he goes, hey, I want to learn some boxing. He was overweight and stuff like that. And he goes, but my problem is I smoke cigarettes. So he tells me what I want to do first is start smoking cigarettes and then come back. And I told him, I said, look, that's not going to happen. It's not that easy. I told the guy, take off his sneakers or whatever because, you know, we'll get boxing gym. Put him on the train. He started that first day. And what I told him was that your body's going to start, with the training, your body's going to start rejecting the cigarettes. One day it's just going to taste bad. And that's the way you stop. You know,
yeah.
It's a little bit off topic with the smoking, but, and next thing you know, 2-3 weeks later, he goes, coach, you believe it or not, I haven't had a cigarette since. I mean, he smoked a week or whatever, but he said, I haven't smoked for like a week.
Oh, I believe that
you
method.
Know?
Because that's kind of what
yeah.
I did in January with sugar. I just, you know, everybody knows this about me anyway, but, you know, I was dipping, literally taking handfuls of chocolate chips, not huge ones, but, you know, just throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why,
mm-hmm.
but I was doing it and eating chocolate, just, you know, chocolate chips throughout my day, just, you know, just a bad habit. You know, like some people could go into the refrigerator and grab carrots. I was grabbing chocolate. And, you know, and so literally almost a year now, since January 23rd, I've been pretty much chocolate and sugar free. I mean, I just got sick of it. But the way I got sick of it was to exercise. I'm like, okay, something's not right here. This must be about energy or needing
mm-hmm.
energy or something. And I just started kind of, I'm like, okay, I'm not very good here. I went to the gym and I'm like, I can't even do like 30 minutes on the treadmill anymore. And I'm an old gymnast. This is pathetic. And then you get down on yourself a little bit. Do you know that? Do you know that when people do that? They're like, oh, man, I suck. I'm so out of shape. But
yeah, well, that's great that you stopped and with the gym. And that's what we call that beating yourself up.
Yeah, you great at it.
You don't want to beat yourself up. You just, you know, saying that's what happens is when you train, your immune system builds and it starts rejecting all that, you know, with the garbage and stuff like that. And I'm not saying garbage, you know, eating
yeah.
garbage literally, but you know, sugar, smoking, you know, the bad foods and stuff
Doritos.
Like that.
Doritos.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, everybody has.
Sorry,
I'm talking about
people,
when
we
you
love
train.
You. Go ahead. <sorry. laughs>
That's why I tell people, I say, you know, you're allowed to have one cheat day. And you start with that cheat day. You might eat, you know, very bad. But after a while, when you keep training, that cheat day becomes a regular day for you because you start forgetting about it. Your body doesn't want that
yeah.
junk food anymore.
Yeah,
and with somebody with disabilities.
No, go ahead.
And
sorry.
Somebody
sorry.
With it's okay. And somebody with disabilities or somebody that's older or someone that's haven't trained for years, it's just, you know, with that person that haven't trained, it's just someone being out of shape. It's going to be very hard the first 2 days, first
mm-hmm.
couple of days, but they get back into it. Someone that's older or any disability, there's always a way around training. That's, you know, you modify things, you know. It's nothing we can do. There's no age we can't do it, you know. So.
Well, I love that.
No matter what age.
Yeah, I absolutely love that because, you know, we're here really, as best ever you, to really help people of all ages, all walks of life, everything. And, you know, we're big fans of just getting out there and just even just moving for 5 minutes, just starting somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And working up, whether it's, you know, whether you want to be boxing or want to be kickboxing or, you know, want to, you know, walk down the street. You know, my husband had both of his hips replaced, for example, about 2 years ago now. And, you know, he's just getting back to really being fully functioning at the gym just now after 2 years, you know. And so it's, there's a lot that goes into being healthy. So it's, I think it's so neat that you can take somebody who's never boxed before and get them in shape. I just think that's fascinating and so cool. What do you think are the factors that make somebody think boxing might be right for them or kickboxing?
Well, these days, I mean, a lot of people, it started off with these boot camp trainings and stuff like that. A lot of people go to these different cardio classes, aerobic classes. People go to the gym and they get bored. You know, you go to a certain class or you go to the gym by yourself for an hour, 2 hours, and you get bored of the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about boxing and kickboxing. It's, we incorporate different things. We make it fun. You know, it's not just throwing a punch. It's not just throwing a kick. I mean, when I teach boxing to a beginner that just wants to learn how to work out, I'm just, you know, get in shape and wants to learn self-defense, it's not, you know, I show other things. I show how to put my body weight on them, how to push, how to put pressure on someone so it could actually explode and let their punches go, you know.
That's
so
cool.
It's more, you know, it's more like making the training fun. It's always something different.
Now,
you know, that's what we do with this kind of workout.
Well, before we got on the air, we were talking about Skype, and I thought this was very genius of you. You know, because you're in New York City, and somebody from California might be listening to this show, and yes, they could probably go look locally for boxing, but maybe they want to train with you because they know you're the best, or, you know, you wouldn't be here talking with us. who's the best.
Thank you.
You know, it'd be pretty neat to be able to Skype with you or, you know, be able to talk with you one-on-one. Could you maybe talk a little bit about the services that you offer in that regard?
Yeah, definitely. I always say that, you know, it's not where you train or how you train, it's who you train with. And that goes back to having that good chemistry with the person you train in and also the person with your coach. I get a lot of guys and girls say, hey, you're a great coach. And I always tell them, I said, what makes a good coach is a good student. You know, that's what makes a great coach is someone, you know, that puts all their own to it. So it doesn't, you know, if someone's far somewhere else, we could always Skype. You know, I could go over and talk with them. If they have a bag at home or they have the gym and they want to Skype, I could, you know, show them stuff from wherever they're at. You know, they could just call me. We could do consultations. We could, you know, so it doesn't really matter if they're here in New York. You
mm-hmm.
know, if you want to learn boxing and you're somewhere else, you know, no problem. I mean, I offer, we do boxing, we do kickboxing, cuttable training, I do postpartum training.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just had a baby, you know, you want to get back into shape, or you just want to get in shape, period. Like you say, you wasn't in shape before you had the baby. That's, you know, it's no problem.
That's great.
You
I could have used
so,
that help four times.
no, a lot of people, yeah.
I would have loved that. as I'm
and it's great.
I'm,
I mean, it's fun
yeah.
to get back into it. I mean, you know, people that just had a baby 3 or 4 months, I mean, you want to get into shape fast. I mean,
yeah.
a boxing boot camp is one of the best ways, you know, to get into it, you know, to get your goals. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking, as you're talking, I can hear how, to me anyway, it seems that you're really good with children for some reason. I don't know. You just seem to, like, have that energy about you. How do you coach kids?
Yeah, I start kids from 5 years old. I love kids. I mean, I have my own kids. I love teaching kids. They fast learners. I love teaching them something new. I mean, the training is a little different with time-wise and how we train, but, you know, kids pick up so fast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love training kids. You know, I offer group classes also, you know, so I have a lot of group kids, you know. I train at my partner Nestor's gym, and that's people in New York, that's at, it's called Ultimate Gym, which is at 5 West 30th Street.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have kids there that come do classes. We do a lot of one-on-one with the kids, you know. So kids is great to train. I mean, a lot of the kids years ago, they started with karate and stuff like that. Just keep them, give them that how do you say, build confidence.
Well, it's like the self-esteem.
You
know, and
self-esteem
it does,
was
it really
the word
does.
I was looking for. You're right. That's the great word I was looking for, self-esteem.
Yeah.
So kids, you know, 5 years and up. I mean, what I tell people is if I have a client, I say, hey, I want my son to train. What I do, I tell them, I said, bring your son or daughter in when I'm training you. Let them have a seat. Let them watch. If you see us, you know, after we train for an hour, it might not happen the first day, second day, but keep bringing them. When you see that kid, your kid or daughter get up and they start throwing punches, that means they want to train. Because you can't really push training on kids.
Yeah.
You know, so the kids watch and they really want it. Hey, and that's when I take them. They could be 4 years old. If they start like that, we train them.
Yeah. And,
you know,
and
so.
For anybody who might say, on any level, on any age and so forth, boxing's too violent. I don't want to do something like that. Do you have something that you say to that? Because, you know, people think all sorts of different things, and boxing might not be for somebody, but do you have anything to say about that?
Well, yeah, no, definitely. I mean, pretty much in anything you do these days, any kind of physical activity or any sport, I mean, with boxing, you have the majority of kids, and I mean a great big majority, kids learn this, and they build confidence, and they learn self defense, and they learn, you know what, this kid would say to themselves, you know what, I know what I could do, so why would I try to hurt someone? Mm-hmm. You know, but like in anything, you always have a bad apple, a bad apple, bad fruit. Mm-hmm. You know, and pretty much anything. But it's not a violent sport. I mean, boxing is, a lot of people do these days for the workout. It's a great workout, you know, and that's what we do it for.
Yeah, awesome.
It's not about, you know, we don't teach them violence. We don't say, hey, I want you to go outside and start a fight. Hey, it's like me myself, when I train kids, I always tell them, I said, look, this is something you do if you needed to defend yourself. This is not something you do. You don't go on the street. You don't start no fights.
Or as a sport, actually. I mean, have you ever had a kiddo who's just playing just great at boxing, who's like excelling and coming up through the ranks, and, you know, I'm sure it's a sport.
Yeah, it's a great sport. Yeah, I mean, we have our Florida team in Florida, and our kids, you know, we have kids 8 years old that box in the ring, and they actually just won the Florida championship.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you, yeah, and that's my partner, Milton. He's out in Florida, and the Supreme Team also. So we have Supreme Team Boxing, NYC, and Miami.
Nice.
Yeah, so a lot of the kids, you know, their parents come in, and they say, hey, I want my kid, you know, to train, and if he gets good enough, I want him to fight. You know, and a lot of them do. I mean, we have a bigger kids team in Florida, so it's definitely a great sport for them. And it keeps them out of trouble.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I can hear the passion for the sport in your voice. I mean, you can just hear it. So, we're cutting into Michael's time now. We're going on. I love it, though. It's fascinating because I can't say that I've ever talked to anybody who's boxed before other than, you know, my dad who watches it on TV. So it's really cool and really eye-opening and a great conversation. And I hope people continue to open their hearts and minds to it, because it seems like it just is a wonderful sport and helps a lot of people. So and awesome to have you with us. And I just want to go, what's your website again? It's learntobox.com?
Yes, yeah, www.learntobox.com with the number 2.
Okay.
They could also give me a call or text at 347-290-6961.
Awesome. All right.
And, you know, we also have lots of YouTube videos. They can look us up on YouTube. We have over 200 videos on YouTube.
What's that under? How do they find you on YouTube?
That's it's youtube.com/, and it's Nelson Supreme 1, and that's with the number 1.
Number 1. Okay. Well, great to talk to you. Great to meet you, and thank you for coming on the show. And I'm going to bring in Michael, and I'll mute your microphone here because you have to go. So we thank you. And everybody, Nelson, I'm just going to call you Coach Nelson because that's my favorite. So take care. Well,
thanks for having me today.
Give Mom a big hug, and everybody in New Jersey and New York, continue to stay safe. Stay safe. I can talk, and we'll bring in Michael now. So thank you so much. All right.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too.
Michael.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, so very well. Good afternoon.
Thank you for joining us today. We have Michael McGlone with us, actor Michael McGlone, and you're going to be with us for the next half hour. But thank you so much for recommending Coach Nelson to us to be on the show. And we talked a little bit about you and all of the work you're doing with him. Pretty neat guy.
Oh, terrific. Yeah, he's a wonderful trainer and a wonderful man. And it's been my pleasure to be training with him for in excess of, I think, 8 months now.
Yeah, I picked up on that on your Facebook, and I was like, oh, what are you doing? That's cool. And you can hear it in his voice, just the complete passion he has for that sport. And then I was picking up on his love of kids. I mean, he just loves kids. You can tell.
Yes. He has 2 of his own, and he loves them dearly. He's a great father and a great husband. And his passion for the sport was born when he was a young person. He's a very accomplished amateur fighter himself. I don't know if he got into that.
Of course not.
But when he's showing me certain punches in our sessions, it's clear that you would not want to be on the other end of any one of those shots.
Oh, no. Yeah. No. Absolutely
not. He's a very accomplished guy, and he's wonderful to work with.
Yeah. Well, thank you again for that. And let's, where should
thank
we start
you.
With you? You're doing a lot of things these days. You're on CBS with Person of Interest. We see you there. And then you've got a new movie coming out, The Fitzgerald Family Christmas.
That's right.
Is that kind of, I haven't seen this yet. Is this funny or is this a serious movie?
It is. It's probably Eddie's most dramatic film yet. as it deals with a family trying to come together from a fractured past over Christmas. But there are laughs along the way, and some of which come at the hands of my character, who's a hot-headed Irishman. And it's quite a lot of fun and very touching. There's the storyline of a father who's been absent from the family for in excess of 20 years as he chose that path.
Mm-hmm.
And he's come back now with a startling announcement that he has pancreatic cancer, and he wants to have his last Christmas with his children. And he would also prefer that they forgive him. And it is the two objectives that motivate him to come home and try to be with the family once again.
You know, it's what's it like being back with your buddy doing a movie?
It's pleasure. Jack Lemmon once said of working with Walter Matthau that it's like sitting down to breakfast with your family.
Yeah.
And that was something that resonated with me when I heard it, because
that's
how it feels when Eddie and I are at work. It is like coming home, and our rapport is just delightful, and his writing is just delightful, and the way he collaborates with all the actors in such an open-hearted and open-minded way makes the environment extraordinarily pleasant. So I was thrilled when we had the opportunity to make this film again.
Yeah, and how long have you guys been working on this? It's really hard to make a movie. It is not an easy
year
to make. Yeah,
so Eddie assembled quite an efficient crew for this, and we got it done, I think, in about 5 or 6 weeks. Many favors were pulled. Eddie reached out to numerous family friends, and so we would be moving from house to house per their generosity and shooting those scenes. And it was a delightful 5 to 6 weeks. And they edited and brought it together over the summer and scored it. And it went to the Toronto Film Festival and had its world premiere there on September 9th. And it will be available for download through iTunes and on demand through your cable provider as of November 21st. And then in select theaters right before the holiday, starting December 7th.
Yeah. You know, HBO's been running She's the One this past week. I don't know if it's
month
or whatever, but I saw that. I'm like, you know, I wonder if they're doing that. Do they do that because another movie's coming out? Do they know that, or is it just...
Yeah, that occurs to me, too, because I see when Eddie has releases that some of our films get a little more play and some of his other films get a little more play. And I would think it likely that they monitor the environment and the market and see what's coming up and what might be of interest to viewers as a result of what is hot in the news. So it would be probable that the two things are connected.
Yeah. So what's your favorite movie that you've done with him? She's the One, The Brothers McMullen. This is a question we're getting on Twitter to you. What's your favorite one? She's the One, The Brothers McMullen, or The Fitzgerald Family Christmas?
Well, I will first have to say that the experience of all of them was a delight. And I loved all of them for very unique reasons and loved them all equally. I would have to say that shooting The Brothers McMullen probably was the most magical, only because it was my first film and it was Eddie's first commercial film, and we didn't know what we were doing and didn't have much idea of what we could do with the film, at least on the part of the cast, when we were shooting it. And so there was something very pure about that experience, because it wasn't necessarily attached to any conscious goal or idea, at least for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And Eddie later strategized so successfully to get us in the hands of the Sundance Film Festival, which was a festival that we won with the film. But before all of that machination took place. We were just doing what we loved whenever we had the time to do it. And it was an utterly joyful time in which we all became dear friends and did something that finally we were extremely proud of. So that would, for many reasons, be the most special.
Yeah. You guys are just brilliant. You can tell. Who's smarter?
Oh, thank you.
No, I'm not going to play the who's smarter game. I'm just kidding. But, you guys, to do something like that, it's just the amount of brilliance just must be, I don't know where it comes from. I mean, it's just, you guys are just brilliantly smart. You can tell in everything that you do. Whether some of it's a little bit of luck and a little bit of not knowing what you're doing, you can't tell. I don't think nobody watching that could tell.
Well, thank you so much. I remember when we were doing it that it was shot through with, despite the fact that we didn't know what the market was for it or even if there was a market for it, and we were just doing this purely for the enthusiasm of making a film, any script was so wonderful that doing it well was something that came with relative ease because his talent is so rich and his words were so real that embodying the characters was in many ways much like embodying the life that had taken you up to that moment. When I first met Eddie, he reminded me of my real life brother Joe. Their personalities are very similar. And so while we were making the film, there were all these wonderful moments in the script and in our interaction together that could have just as well come from my own personal history. And it was just a delight.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on everything that you
Thank
do.
You.
And I know, I love this about you. You and I have been, we met on Facebook and we've been friends off, for gosh, I don't know how many, a few years now, and I
mm-hmm.
consider you just a dear friend of mine. And I'm
Thank
always
you.
So proud of everything that you do, whether you're just so darn talented. I mean, you're a singer, a songwriter, you're a writer, you're an actor. You do these, we were talking about your impersonations that you do, impersonations.
Yes,
I think,
sure.
Voiceovers and just everything. Did you know when you were a little kid that this is what you were going to do?
I didn't have a conscious thought of becoming an actor and having a life in the arts probably until I was about 13. All of the things that I do now, I had started to do at an early age, but it wasn't until I was about 13 and I starred in the school production of Peter Pan that I realized, this feels really good, and I enjoy doing this so much. I may want to take this forward. And through high school, of course, that only burgeoned and grew further. And by the time I was through high school, it was what I was definitely going to pursue. That was just the conscious awareness, though. On an unconscious level, I do believe that I was given a gift at birth, that the message would be delivered to me that all of the things that I do, I would do, and that it would give me great happiness, which it has. And I consider myself very fortunate that these abilities and these joys are a part of my life, because I do everything that I want to do, and I do it with extraordinary happiness.
Yeah, you can definitely tell. Is it hard to balance or juggle some of the things? Like, does writing take hold one day and songwriting the next and singing the next? How do you juggle everything that you're so very talented at? Because it seems like
you could
overwhelm yourself.
you do have to be careful that the primary interest in a given time is getting most of the attention. Because when you're seriously work on a book, you need to devote yourself to that in a very devoted way. And when you're making a film, when you're on set and you're even in just in the schedule, even though you have days off, you need to remain concentrated on the task at hand. So as things present themselves to me, I focus as necessary and do my best to do justice to them and get the results that I am most proud of. And sometimes that does require that the focus is more exclusive on one aspect. When I'm making a record, it will dominate my schedule until that is done. And only in rare cases, if something were to come up in the midst of perhaps recording a new album, I would put that on hold and focus on that. So it's just a matter of what is going to serve the whole the best and to focus on that in a very dedicated way for as long as it's necessary.
Yeah. Does it all weave together and work together? Like, can you draw on different things from all the things that you do?
Yes, and that's in many ways that's an unconscious process. I am confident that each of my pursuits benefits from the others, but not in a way that you can always tell the link.
Sure.
And it is something, though, that in the results of it, you can later see. Your understanding of yourself through portraying a given character is only going to aid your understanding of what you want to express in a given song, because you've deepened your awareness of yourself and your awareness of life, hopefully. And it will invest the other things that you do with greater intelligence. And, of course, character study and character embodiment is a large part of creating characters on the page in a novel as well. And
that's a really good point.
That's something that definitely helps me.
Yeah, I was thinking about characters the other day because, you know, creating characters for writing a book, that's hard to keep them staying in their character. It's almost like you have to make them come alive. And
you do, and yes, you do want the words and the actions all to be consistent with what you conceive of as the most truthful portrayal of that human being. But staying dedicated to that is really a joy, because there are challenges in it that make you hopefully more astute in your study of life.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you look at what you create and you're constantly examining it for its accuracy, it only sharpens your mind in a number of different ways that are advantageous.
Yeah, and I'm guessing when you're acting, you know, like if you're on Person of Interest on CBS, which is a great show. It's one of our favorites.
Well, thank
here.
You.
Love that show. Who do you play in that? What do you do?
I play Detective Szymanski, and he is an organized crime task force detective, and so he appears in the episodes that are relevant to any organized crime storyline, most recently dealing with the Irish mob in the episode Trigger Man, which aired October 25th.
Do you love it?
Oh, I do. It's a wonderful show, and I'm very pleased that I would have a recurring role on such a successful show. Jim Caviezel and Michael Emerson, the stars of the show, are doing a marvelous job on it. And indeed, everyone who contributes to a success, Taraji Henson, with whom I share most of my scenes when I'm working on the show, is marvelous too. And they're thrilled with the success of the enterprise.
It's one of the few shows on TV that I can say that our family actually gathers around to watch. Everybody.
Oh, that's nice to hear.
Yeah, that's a hard thing to do in this household, I got to tell you. There are six people.
That's a high compliment to us on the show.
It's a huge compliment it seems like those days are gone where entire families gather around the TV set and watch
something.
It's
less relevant than it used to be. When I was a boy, we had that tradition.
Yeah.
Hill Street Blues, L.A. Law, if there was a miniseries coming up, Shogun was a miniseries adapted from the James Clavell novel years ago, and I still have the warmest memories of us gathering to watch it when it was airing, because there wasn't the culture of DVR.
No.
Or even the culture of taping something and watching it later. Even though there was that technology, it wasn't necessarily what people were doing. They would rather sit and be together and watch the program, which the advertisers, of course, miss as well, because nowadays, if you're watching a DVR recorded show,
you can get
right through those advertisements.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, it's a great show, and all six of us, even the dog, comes in the room to watch the show.
That's lovely.
Yeah, it's a good one. I think the cats go in there, the dog, the kids, dad, mom, everybody. So, yeah, they just absolutely love it. So they were like, "You're interviewing him? Oh, cool!" You know,
it's
kind
nice
of thing.
Nice to have
so.
Things to do together too,
yeah.
as a family.
Yeah.
Whether it's a television show or other activity, it fosters wonderful memories and I think a sense of security and affection in the home that's really indispensable.
Yeah. Well, so tell, what else have you got going on? There's a lot going on right now, but what?
Well, there's the Person of Interest is ongoing, and the film is coming up, as I say, November 21st. It'll be available on iTunes and then in theaters December 7th. There is also a special guest star appearance I'm going to give on a show called Psych, and that's on USA. It's in its seventh season this year, and my character appears in episode 11. I was highly complimented by this invitation to be on the show because one of the writers and producers, Todd Harthan, who I worked with on another series called The Kill Point, wrote this role with me in mind, and it is a character that is based on the Alec Baldwin character from Glengarry Glen Ross, if you're familiar
mm-hmm.
with that performance, only it's relevant to the pharmaceutical world. So it was a blast. We had a lot of fun. We shot it up in Vancouver, British Columbia, and that should be coming up in 2013, probably the early part of 2013, that episode is going to air.
Oh, awesome. You know, we have people who want to speak with you. Do you want to take a call? I can't screen the calls ahead of time.
That's fine.
Do you want to
Absolutely.
See what we get here?
I trust
okay.
that they're lovely people. I'd love to speak to them.
Absolutely. All right. So, caller from the 931 area code, we have you on the line. Welcome to the Best Ever You show. Did you want to ask a question, or were you just listening along? We weren't sure.
Actually, it was a combination of both, Elizabeth, but thank you very much for taking the call. I'm a big fan. I constantly listen to your show and archive. Michael, I'm a big fan as well. I first noticed you when you were in One Tough Cop with Stephen Baldwin. The Bo Dietl story. And I actually went backwards to catch the other stuff that you had done with Ed Burns. And I was just floored. And then, of course, when I saw you were going to be on Person of Interest, because I'm an active member of the IMDb Person of Interest board.
Oh,
and I'm also
excellent.
Active. Yeah. And I'm also active with Person of Interest Wiki. So, in fact, a friend of mine, at Person of Interest Wiki, met Kevin Chapman at this last summer's Comic-Con. And Kevin Chapman paid you he paid you the greatest compliment of what a wonderful actor and person you are.
Yeah. That's what I think, too.
Well,
so did Nelson.
Kevin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kevin's
a lovely
guy. We were worried on the board when you got shot in the episode Baby Blue.
Thank you for that worry. But as you now know, this is a tough Polish cop, and he recovered straight away from that gunshot.
Yeah,
he's back on the job.
Oh, that Trigger Man episode was, I mean, you didn't get enough screen time as far as I was concerned, and a lot of the board people were concerned. We were kind of bummed about that. So we do have more stuff with you and possibly Elias and some of the former Dons coming up in the future, right?
I'm looking forward to it. I don't know what their creative goals are, but I think that could be fantastic, and I would look forward to it.
Well, it sounds like
that would be just awesome, Michael. Next time you're at the IMDb boards, just look for people like Former Action Guy or J.J. Abrams fan and some of the other folks.
Okay.
They have been. We're the ones that are prolifically, you know, basically championing for you, because your character
is great.
Well,
thank you so much. That is a high compliment, and I look forward to hearing from you again and giving you some more performances in the future that you can enjoy. I really appreciate it. Thank you, my friend.
Please do. Thank you for the time, and thank you for taking the call, Elizabeth.
Oh,
you have a good, better rest of your day, y'all.
Thank you for listening to the show, and thank you for calling in, and we really appreciate it. It's very meaningful. Isn't that neat when people take just such an interest in what you're doing and promote you
and love you?
And
it's a real gift, and it's a large part of why you do what you do, to share yourself and to be appreciated, and to show my appreciation for the people who give me that gift is a deep pleasure. An honor to me.
Didn't he have a neat voice?
Yeah, I couldn't place it. There's something down south, perhaps.
He's got a beautiful voice. He sounded like a broadcaster himself. He just a beautiful
indeed,
voice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But there's boards that you can. I had no clue. there's boards that you can follow that follow the show and promote you.
There's discussion boards. Yeah. So IMDb would have a page for a person of interest, and then there are boards where you can discuss what's happening on the show with other people who are actively interested in it as well. And I believe that's what our friend was referring to.
That's trippy, to have no control over what people say about you or anything.
Oh, yeah,
scary.
Definitely don't, yes.
But, hopefully, you know, the people who write and produce and create the show and so forth will listen to people that make comments like that, because, you know, if people really want to see more of you, that's really important to know, I would think, for the show.
Absolutely. Sure it is.
Yeah.
It's important for me to know, and whatever help they can be, I would appreciate.
Yeah, and he said something really important, and that's, I don't know who paid you that compliment, who exactly, I couldn't catch the name who he was talking about. But
Kevin Chapman, that's an actor on Person of Interest as well, that my character deals with less, because Taraji and I link up more than Kevin and I. But Kevin is Taraji's partner on the show. And Taraji will often spin off to work the investigation through the organized crime task force that I head, and Kevin will be on other details. But Kevin and I have spent much time together on the set, visiting and becoming friends, and he's an actor that I enjoy so very much. You would recognize him from numerous things. Mystic River is a movie that I just revisited a few days ago, which he's exceptional in. And he was also a major character in a show that I loved and love called Brotherhood, which was on Showtime.
Yep, that's a great
seasons.
One.
Yeah. And actually, when I first met him, that was one of the first things that I told him, how much I enjoyed him on that show and what a wonderful job he did. And he's doing a wonderful job on Person of Interest as well.
So I want to take a break for 1 second here and just let everybody. We're going to run a few minutes long, and what happens to us here is when you're listening live, the show is actually going to cut off live, but it's still taping. So to catch the end of the show, there's a free replay. You just click on the link on blogtalkradio.com/besteveryou, and you'll find the show listed, and you can just listen to the end of the show. But we'll try and wrap up here, and what do we have, like a minute left, Michael? But I do want to direct people to your website, which is michaelmaglone.com. Everything that you do is up there. And then people can find you in Facebook. Are you on Twitter or just Facebook?
I am not on Twitter, but yes, I welcome any and all invitations to connect on Facebook.
Okay, perfect. Did I miss anything? I don't think so.
No, I know you got to run. No, we covered it. And actually, that might be even literal, because where I'm going is to my boxing training with Coach Nelson. And our first 10 minutes are the warm-up, and it's either running or jump rope, et cetera. So I might literally be running within the next half hour or so.
Well, there you go. All right. Well, we don't want to make you late. And big hugs to both of you. Very nice
Thank
to meet
you.
Him. And always just a pleasure and a joy to have you with us here at Best Ever You. You've been with me since the start of opening this company. And I just
and congratulations
to
you on all of the success,
Thank
Elizabeth.
You.
It's just a delight to see the well-deserved accolades keep coming for you.
It's really fun. Yeah, well, you were one of the first guests on the show. I'm like, Michael, will you do this?
And so, yeah, and we had a ball.
It
yeah.
was great. So thank you. And,
You're so welcome. Thank you.
And continued success in everything that you do. And we look forward to seeing you in more movies and on TV and recording and books and all the stuff. And we all just thank you very much for your time. And
likewise,
and again,
thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
All right, take care. And I just want to mention before we go here, Michael, thank you. I just want to end the show here and just let you know that Tana Frederick is going to be with us on Thursday, we're hoping. She has bronchitis. And so I'm not positive if she's going to be with us, but she should be here Thursday, November 8th at 1 p.m. That's actor Tana Frederick. And so we're pretty excited about that. And then next, very exciting. And then next, I hope I said her name right, Tana Frederick, I think. And then November 14th, we have Randy Siegel with us. And she manages a lot of the careers. And I think she got Jimmy Fallon started. And she manages Frank Stallone and quite a number of people. She's an incredibly brilliant woman and very excited to have her with us. And then on Thursday the 15th, we have parenting expert Annie Burnside. And then just one more on the 20th, right before Thanksgiving, we have football player Vernon Turner with us. So just an exciting lineup of shows coming up in the next 3 weeks.
That is wonderful.
Yeah, just lots of cool people. They're all people who will, I guarantee you, give you information to help you be your best or inspire you in some way with their passion. Absolutely amazing people. I've had great conversations with all of them, and I love all of them. So thank you, Michael, and thank you for Nelson, and we will take you out here with our outro. I love this. It's called an outro with Randy Kay. Thank you, Randy Kay, for taping this for us, and you can visit her at randykay.com. All right, thank you so much. Take care, everybody.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.